إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب ما جاء في ذمة الله وذمة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. We continue reading from the explanation of كتاب التوحيد from الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد for noble شيخ العلامة الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. A chapter about the covenant of Allah and the covenant of the Prophet of Allah. And we learn that as Muslims we have to preserve these covenants and to act in accordance to these covenants of Allah and the covenant of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam Muhammad al-Wahhab, he brought two proofs in this chapter, an ayah in Surah Al-Nahl and a hadith in Sahih Muslim. As for the ayah, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 91 in Surah Al-Nahl. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا. وتمام الآية: وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Translation of this ayah from the Noble Quran: and fulfill the covenant of Allah. And do not break the oaths after you have confirmed them. And indeed you have appointed Allah your surety. Verily Allah knows what you do. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله: أما مناسبة هذا الباب لكتاب التوحيد. As for the relevance of this chapter to كتاب التوحيد, التنبيه على أن الوفاء بالعهود تعظيم لله وعدم الوفاء بها عدم تعظيم له. فهو قدح في التوحيد. Says in this chapter, Imam al-Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, رحمه الله تعالى, is drawing the readers and the Muslims' attention that fulfilling the covenants that shows that that person who do so have high respect and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why that person fulfilled the covenant, out of great respect and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, failing to fulfill these covenants is the opposite. That shows that a person doesn't have the respect and the high respect and veneration for Allah. And therefore this impairs the tawheed, waliyadu billah. When a person does not fulfill the covenants, shows that that person doesn't have that respect for Allah nor veneration, and that impairs the tawheed. أما المعنى الإجمالي للآية, as for the general meaning of this ayah, يقول الشيخ صالح حفظه الله: يأمر تعالى بالوفاء بالعهود والمواثيق. In this ayah in Surah Al-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give his command that his covenants has to be fulfilled. وَالْمُحَافَظَ عَلَى الْأَيْمَانِ الْمُؤَكَّدَةِ بِذِكْرِهِ. Likewise, people, they have to fulfill the not only the covenants but also the oaths, especially those oaths that emphasized by the name of Allah. Say, Wallahi sa'af'alu kada, by Allah, I will do this, or by Allah, you got my word, and the like. لأنهم بذلك جعلوه سبحانه شاهدا ورقيبا عليه. Because once a person take an oath and swears, like you remember the previous chapter about swearing and the like, then these people now they make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness upon them and a watcher over whatever action they've done or transaction they about to conclude among themselves. وهو سبحانه يعلم أفعالهم وتصرفاتهم وسيجازيهم عليها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their actions, every move they make, and Allah will reward them according to their actions. أما مناسبة الآية للباب, as for the relevance of this ayah of Surah Al-Nahl to this chapter itself, يقول الشيخ صالح حفظه الله تدل هذه الآية على وجوب الوفاء بالعهود. تدل هذه الآية على وجوب الوفاء بالعهود. This ayah is a proof that as for fulfilling the covenants, it is an obligation. It's not just a choice, whatever you want to do, it is like is an obligation to fulfill the covenants. ومنها ما يجري بين الناس من إعطاء الذمة فإنها يجب الوفاء بها لأنها further من أفراد معنى الآية. So when a person, for example, deal with a person in any transaction or any matter, and they give covenants, so they have to fulfill those covenants and those oaths that they make upon themselves. ما يستفاد من الآية, the Shaykh says, because this was mentioned in the ayah in Surah Al-Nahl, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that people are commanded in order to fulfill their covenants and also not to break their oaths, not to break their oaths. ما يستفاد من الآية وجوب, أولا وجوب الوفاء بالعهود والمواثيق. Fulfilling the covenants and not to break the oath is an obligation. It is an obligation. And this is very important for us because this helps us to be serious about what we do and what we... Because Islam is serious. And not just, okay, I'll do it, and you don't change your mind. No, this is a covenant now. Something that becomes binding on a person to do. There are many orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do, and you find some of us, we do them whatever we want to do them, or we do them sometimes, we don't do it. Like, we leave it up to us. Some they leave it up to the circumstances, like, why is... He's not, he don't have enough money now, and that's always in his mind. And he doesn't fulfill this covenant. No, it's not about how much money you have, where do you live. These are covenants that have to be fulfilled in times of ease, times of difficulty, in times when you have money, and times you're going through some hardship, when you're traveling, when you're not. And of course, within the person's means and ability, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. أي نعم. ثانيا, تحريم نقد العهود والأيمان الداخلة في العهود والمواثيق. It is strictly forbidden to betray the covenants and not to fulfill the covenants. Likewise, it is forbidden to break the oath. ثالثا إثبات العلم لله سبحانه وأنه لا يخفى عليه شيء. Likewise, this ayah is one of the ayahs that affirm for Allah العلم, صفة العلم, the attributes of knowledge العلم, and that nothing is hidden from Allah سبحانه وتعالى, nothing. الله أكبر. And this will help us and aid us to be mindful of what we say, what we do, what we write, what we send, what we leave off, where places we go, or what we do when we're alone, and all of that. Why? Because Allah knows everything. Can't hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aynam. So we as a human being, mashallah, and no doubt we try ourselves our best actually to be righteous, to stay on the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us all to be on. Of course we wanna be in Jannah, we don't wanna be in the fire, but we need to do and take the means that lead to the Jannah. But as a human being, desires, the whispers of the shaitan, the temptations, the pressure, the environment that the person lives in, and many things make us sometimes, or some of us, make bad decisions and poor decisions, whether by neglecting, which lead us to neglect an obligation or fall into a prohibition. We weak, وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا. Man is created weak. Yes, if you ask someone, you want Jannah? Oh, of course. But then we'll be doing actions of the hellfire. Actions of the people of the hellfire. Aynam. But alhamdulillah, as long as this knowledge, this class, they help us. Like this class, just this, al-ilm. When you know Allah knows everything. Now you like, alhamdulillah, this will help us to straighten our affairs and to be serious and sincere and do what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah help us.
Ameen.
Number four, wa'idu man naqad al-uhud wal-mawathiq. There is a threat for those who break their covenants and their oaths. Aynam. So it's a serious matter. It's not about I'll do whatever I want. No, you have a covenant, you have to fulfill it. Of course, if a person, something happened and he has nothing to do with it, the qadr of Allah, and now he can do it at that time, he or in the way he's supposed to do it, then alhamdulillah, person should fear Allah to the best of their abilities. Now, ثم قال الشيخ الإمام المجدد رحمه الله the hadith. Now it's a long hadith, a little bit, not very long, but I'm going to read it all and then read to you the translation inshallah. عن بريدة وهو الصحابي الجليل بريدة بن الحصيب رضي الله عنه. عن بريدة رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمر أميرا على جيش أو سرية أوصاه بتقوى الله تعالى ومن معه من المسلمين خيرا فقال اغزوا بسم الله في سبيل الله قاتلوا من كفر بالله اغزوا ولا تغلوا ولا تغدروا ولا تمثلوا ولا تقتلوا وليدا وإذا لقيت عدوك من المشركين فادعهم إلى ثلاث خلال أو خصال فأيتهن ما أجابوك فاقبل منهم وكف عنهم ثم ادعهم إلى الإسلام فإن أجابوك فاقبل منهم ثم ادعهم إلى التحول من دارهم إلى دار المهاجرين وأخبرهم أنهم إن فعلوا ذلك فلهم ما للمهاجرين وعليهم ما على المهاجرين، فإن أبوا أن يتحولوا منها فأخبرهم أنهم يكونون كأعراب المسلمين، يجري عليهم حكم الله الذي يجري على المؤمنين، ولا يكون لهم في الغنيمة والفيء شيء إلا أن يجاهدوا مع المسلمين، فإنهم أبوا فاسألهم الجزية، فإنهم أجابوك فاقبل منهم وكف عنهم، فإنهم أبوا فاستعن بالله وقاتلهم. وإذا حاصرت أهل حصن فأرادوك أن تجعل لهم ذمة الله وذمة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلا تجعل لهم ذمة الله وذمة نبيه، ولكن اجعل لهم ذمتك وذمة أصحابك، فإنكم أن تخفروا ذممكم وذمة أصحابكم أهون من أن تخفروا ذمة الله وذمة نبيه. وإذا حاصرت أهل حصن فأرادوك أن تنزلهم على حكم الله فلا تنزلهم على حكم الله، ولكن أنزلهم على حكمك، فإنك لا تدري أتصيب حكم الله فيهم أم لا، حيث رواه مسلم. On the authority of Burayda radiallahu anhu, who said, when ordering a commander of troops or expedition, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him to have taqwa of Allah and to be good to the Muslims that were with him under his command. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, fight in the name of Allah, fight and do not be excessive. Do not be excessive. No, this is not the right translation. It's not la taghlu. Huna in English, that's good to read the English. Wallahu a'lam. Here, the translator mentioned do not be excessive because he read it as wala taghlu. Min al ghulu. But here is وَلَا تَغُلُّ which is مِنَ الْغُلُول as the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan he explained that وَلَا تَغُلُّ مِنَ الْغُلُول not وَلَا تَغْلُو. See how it is? The same verb, the same letters actually, not the same verb. There's two different verbs in here. May Allah wa'alama wa al-brother rahimahullah. Maybe he looked at it, or maybe it's translated in other texts. Wallahu a'lam. Lakin, I go with what the Shaykh says. What I have in the Arabic text is وَلَا تَغُلُّ not وَلَا تَغْلُو, and there is a big difference in the meaning. وَلَا تَغُلُّ مِنْ غَلَّ غَلَّ يَغُلُّ meaning to take away and to steal from the booty of war, the spoils of war. Someone takes something and hides it for himself before it is distributed. Because in Islam, when the Muslims fight their enemies, the kuffar, and they get the booty or the spoil, not everybody get whatever they want and pack their bag and pack their camel with. La. They gather, even if somebody finds something very expensive, they put it all together and they are distributed by the leader. Okay? They distribute it amongst them. But what is ghulu? Is when someone see piece here, piece over there, piece of gold, some money, whatever, a nice piece of material and hide it. That's ghulu, that's haram. As Allah tells us, ومن يغلل أحسنت. Whoever commit this ghulu, he will bring them. And it is on Yom Al-Qiyamah. And there was this man who fought in jihad and this, and he died. And the people are like, Alhamdulillah, he has the shahada. The Prophet ﷺ, he says that piece of material he has ghulu, that he has put with him, taken away before it is distributed from the spoil, he said it is blazing in a fire on him. And when they went and look at his belongings, they find that piece of material. So it's a very serious matter, Akhwan. Now, here I'm reading the translation. He says, and do not be excessive. Well, actually, the brother, see, I apologize for my brother, Abu. I apologize, but do not be excessive. Where he brought that from? But actually, I apologize for him, rahimahullah, because he did mention that. See, I spoke too soon, and I apologize for that. But why those who was the book, why didn't you stop me and say, brother, you're speaking before, huh? You guys, all of you have the text? English or Arabic?
Arabic.
Arabic. So, those who have the English, ya Akhwan, if you see me say something that is not right, you stop us. Alayin, me openly, I apologize, especially now this is a brother who has passed, rahimahullah ta'ala. I ask Allah to raise his rank and to forgive him and to admit him in Jannat al-Firdaus, and to preserve and protect his family, his children. So he says, do not be excessive, nor commit ghulul. So there's nothing wrong with his translation. Alhamdulillah, he mentioned the ghulul is stealing from war spoils. But this excessive, is the brother he mentioned, and there is another narration in here. Alayin, Ughzu, don't be excessive, but Alhamdulillah, once again I do apologize for him. MashaAllah, Rahimahullah, our brother Dawood. Well, this is not World Bank, actually this is Abu Khalil. Afwan, this is a translation of Abu Khalil. Alayin, I thought that was the brother World Bank. Rahimahullah, but this is another brother actually who translates this, what I'm reading from Abu Khalil. Alayin, my apology extends for that statement they made. Alayin, so he says, and nor commit ghulul, nor mutilate, subhanAllah, nor mutilate, an order from the Prophet as the Shaykh. He mentioned mutilate, وَتَشْوِيهُ الْقَتِيلُ بِخَطِي أَعْدَائِهِ, that once the person dies, that's it. You leave him alone in Islam. لَهُ حُرْمَةَ الْإِنسَانِيَّةِ, as the ulama, Sheikh Albani and others, Sheikh bin Baz, what they mean, they says even a person is a kafir. He died in a battlefield, that's it. You have to have respect because he's a human being. Yeah, respect, he's a kafir. He was trying to kill you, but you kill him because Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, you killed him, but still you don't go there and try to cut his limbs off and get his eyes out and a'udhu billah, like the Khawarij do these days. And they do it in the name of what? Islam, jihad, Allah command us, they're liars. This is what Islam commands. Do not nor mutilate. Do not kill a child. In other narration, do not kill women. Do not kill elderly. Do not kill the priests and the rabbis and their monks in their places of worship. La ilaha illallah. Do not kill animals. Do not cut trees. But the Khawarij of these days, or the ISIS, what they do? كاينين اللي بعد they go to an open place and kill everybody in there. Everybody, men, women, children, babies, elderly, Muslims, non-Muslims, doesn't matter. Nas'al Allah salam al-afiyah. But this is in a battlefield, ya akhwan. This is not one person strapped and going to and blow up a building, or blow up a gas station, or train station, or blow up a bus, or a plane. No, this is in an army facing an army. I am an army facing another army. Still, the Prophet ﷺ giving these orders. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you meet your enemy among the mushrikeen, then invite him to three things. Invite them, those enemies, to three things, or three alternatives. If they agree to any of them, then accept it from them and let them be. Invite them to Islam. SubhanAllah. So jihad is not for overpowering the people and taking their land or their oil or their resources. No, they want good for the people. Islam, because Islam would guarantee them a pure life in this life and yet the real life in the hereafter. The Jannah, if they die upon Tawheed. So invite them to Islam. If they accept this from you, then accept it from them. Then invite them, look, subhanAllah, accept it from them. That's it. Now you're going to fight? Call them to Islam. They say, okay, alhamdulillah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept from them. Now the Khawarij of these days, they go to a masjid and they want to kill somebody and you say, I'm Muslim. No, that doesn't matter. Boom. Kill him in the masjid. Telling them, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah Muslim. They're like, no, you're not. One of the mashayikh, I think it's Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, Hafidahullah, he mentioned a story, subhanAllah, it's amazing. From the Khawarij, of the first Khawarij. That one of the companions, he just came back from a ghazu. And he came back, and he was in this area, and it was a time for Salat. So he went to the closest and nearest masjid to him. So when he went to that masjid, they were the Khawarij. When they know him to be the companion, they say, hey, we're going to kill you. He said, I'm a Muslim. They said, hey, we're going to kill you. He said, you don't accept from me? Would you accept from me what the Prophet ﷺ accepted from me? When he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah ﷺ, the Prophet accepted that from me. They says, no, we don't accept from you. A'udhu billah. Even when they are reminded like this, they still follow their desires. Nas'al Allah as-salamu wa al-afiyah. Naam akhi. Tayyib. Then invite them to leave their land, to the land of the muhajirun. As the Shaykh mentioned at that time, to leave Mecca, which was still, and the area was still a land of kufr, to Medina, which was the land of Islam then. But alhamdulillah now, and from a long time ago, Mecca was the land of Islam. Alhamdulillah. He says, so then invite them to leave their land, to the land of the Muhajirun, and inform them that if they do that, then they will have the same rights as the Muhajirin do, and will be obliged as the Muhajirin are. If they refuse to relocate, then inform them that they will be considered as the Muslim Bedouins are. They are to conform of the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not share in the prizes of or booty of war at all, unless they make jihad with the Muslims. So if they refuse, then they must submit to the jizya. If they accept this, then accept it from them. And leave them alone. If they refuse, then seek Allah's help and fight them. When you lay siege to a fortress and its people, sometimes the people, they may be in a high place or or a fortress that is built, and they get in there, and they know, that's it. And it would be difficult to penetrate those high walls and those fortresses. So what they do, they camp around them and make a siege. So nobody leave the fortress, nobody want get in. They will have no resources coming to them. And usually they give up, especially when the resources begin to go down. Water, food, medicals, and the like. It says, when you lay siege to a fortress and its people want you to offer them a treaty with Allah and a treaty with His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not agree with them to a treaty with Allah and a treaty with His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, agree with them to your treaty and your companion's treaty. If you violate your treaty or your companion's treaty, it will be easier on you than if you violate Allah's treaty and His Messenger's, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, treaty. And when you lay siege to a fortress and its people ask you to settle their case with Allah's judgment, do not give Allah's judgment on them, but give your own judgment on them. For you will not be able to ascertain whether it is Allah's judgment upon them or not. This is recorded by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. The Shaykh in the Ma'na al-Ijma'li, in the general meaning of this hadith, he says, يذكر لنا هذا الصحابي الجليل بريدة ابن الحصيب رضي الله عنه ما كان يفعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما يرسل الجيوش والسرايا للقتال في سبيل الله. He says, this noble companion, بريدة ابن الحصيب رضي الله عنه, he mentioned to us here what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do upon sending armies and expeditions. And the Prophet ﷺ used to send troops or expeditions to fight for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُوصِي الْقُوَّادَ بِالتَّحَرُّزِ وَهَذَا جَمْعَ قَائِد بِالتَّحَرُّزِ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِهِ بِالْتِزَامِ التَّقْوَى. SubhanAllah. Series advices. He used to advise the leaders, the commander-in-chief in our terms, whoever is in charge, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to appoint an emir on the troops, and he used to advise that person by using the ta'a of Allah to protect themselves from his punishments by being pious. Allah Akbar. It's not just go do whatever you want to do. No, you still have to do what's pleasing to Allah. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where ISIS are from this? Huh? Do they do what's pleasing to Allah? Do they really apply this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here? They don't. They do whatever they want to do. Bunch of ignorance, and when they meet people, they are not with them, or they don't deal with them according to what Allah has ruled. They do it according to their whatever. Whatever. If those people that in charge at that time, whatever, they say, let's burn them. Okay? Let's have fun. They burn the person. Let's cut their heads off. Let's cut their heads off. That's because they said it. Let's run over them. Strap them down and run over their heads. They do that. Let's hang them alive and shoot them after. They do that. No judges, nothing. No, none of that. That's Allah salam al-Abiya. And they do that in the name of Islam. We need to know these things, and we tell the people that this is wrong. What these people are doing is wrong. It's not Islam. It's not from Islam at all. Naam. Huh? Hey, ish? المراه. هذه بعيده منك لا؟ ما ندري. تعال هنا، تعال هنا انت، شفاك الله. Hold on, hold on. You don't mind? The brother can turn the fan off. You, it's okay with you?
No.
He can turn it off.
Yeah.
You can. Ah, he's the one. No, no, that big one, the big one. Yeah, that's. Jazakallah. Alhamdulillah. ويأمرهم بالشروع في الغزو مستعين بالله ليقاتل الكفار لإزالة كفرهم حتى يكون الدين كله لله. Likewise, he commanded them to engage in the غزو, in the jihad, seeking Allah's help to fight the disbelievers. Why? To get rid of kufr and disbelief, so that the religion be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for worldly gain or for this or to oppress the people like they say. No, for their good benefits. As we have a hadith, it says, Ajaban, it's amazing that certain people, they are dragged to the Jannah in their chains. Aina, the ulama, they mention the meaning of this hadith, that the people, the captives of amongst the non-Muslims, the kuffar, where they are dragged as captives, and then Allah guide them to Islam. Because the Muslims, they take care of them. SubhanAllah. They see the beauty of Islam. Now they're like that said, they were going to die. They're like, no, nobody touch this one. Nobody oppress anybody. They feed them. They give treatments and medical treatment to those who are injured amongst them. Allahu Akbar. People now, they see the akhlaq of the Muslimin. The real Muslims, how they act. And the people, they're like, we want this religion. Allahu Akbar, we want it. SubhanAllah. Not like these guys, they just kill anybody, giving bad image to Islam. People now, they look at the Islam and Muslim, they're all bloodthirsty and they're killers. And we gotta participate in the da'wah, ikhwan. You gotta tell the people, those people are not from, whatever they do has nothing to do with Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet of mercy. He's merciful. Allah sends him rahma lil alameen, as a mercy. All your problems, all your worries, if you follow this man, they're gonna go away. But now they're like, well, what do you mean? It's like, look at these people, they're killing anybody. What mercy? Where is the mercy in that? Beheading, killing children, women, rape, causing chaos, and SubhanAllah, it's like, well, these people, we're not talking about that. What they do is not Islam. They don't represent Islam. They don't speak on behalf of Islam. Even though they do it in name of Allah, jihad, and they're liars and they're cowards. Ayna. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْخِيَانَةِ فِي الْعُهُودِ وَالْأَخْذِ مِنَ الْمَغَانِمِ قَبْلَ قِسْمَتِهَا وَعَنْ تَشْوِيهِ الْقَتْلَ وَقَتْلِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَحِقُ الْقَتْلِ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this great man, before he sent them to any expedition or and the like for jihad, he would command the Muslims not to cheat, not to betray the covenants. You have a covenant, go by it. Allahu Akbar. And do not steal from the spoils of war before they are distributed. Likewise, he prohibited them from mutilating the dead by cutting their limbs or whatever the case is. And he used to prohibit them as well from killing those who they don't deserve to be killed. Like children. Children are fighting. Yeah, the father is fighting, but his wife is not. The children are not fighting. So you don't kill them. You see? وعندما يلاقون عدوا فإنهم يخيرونهم بين ثلاثة أمور. And when they meet the enemy, before even they engage in a fight, they give them three choices to choose from, three alternatives. إما أن يدخلوا في الإسلام. Say, hey, you enter Islam, that's it, it's over. We're not going to fight you, nothing. SubhanAllah. Yeah, we're here, okay, we came this long way, huh? But if you became Muslim, that's it. Alhamdulillah. وإما أن يؤدوا الجزية. Or if they don't want to be Muslims, okay, inshallah, you have our protection. And you give a little bit of your wealth. Not a whole of it, a little bit of it. وإما أن يقاتلوا. If they refuse both, it's like, okay, now we're going to fight you. أين؟ فإن دخلوا في الإسلام خيروا بين أمرين. Now, if they choose to enter, to accept Islam, now they will have a choice between two things. إما الانتقال إلى دار الهجرة ولهم مال المهاجرين وعليهم مع المهاجرين. Then they will made a migration to the place of Hijra, which is Medina at that time. And then they will have the same rights. They just became Muslim, they still have the same rights. It's not like, okay, why? Well, you're, I don't know, you just became Muslim, you're not going to be like them or this. No, no, subhanAllah. Musa was. For the حقوق. وإما البقاء مع أعراب المسلمين لهم ما لهم وعليهم ما لهم. Or, they don't want to make hijrah to Al-Madinah. They stay with where they are, but they will have the same rulings as the Bedouins who didn't join the Medina, and they have the same right. Meaning, since they don't participate in the jihad, they're not going to get the rights of the Shaykh he mentioned from the spoils. Now, ثم يوصي صلى الله عليه وسلم القواد عندما يحاصرون الكفار في معاقلهم. Then also the Prophet ﷺ gave his orders to the commanders in chief and the leaders of the troops and the expeditions. If it happens that they may have, they lay a siege on the kuffar in their fortress. فيطلب الكفار منهم أن يجعلوا لهم عهد الله وعهد نبيه أن لا يجعلوا لهم ذلك. And then the kuffar, when they start running out of ammunition and provisions and the like, so they send somebody, you know, usually they, I don't know how they did it at that time, but as we know, they put a white flag and like meaning peace. Huh? They want to negotiate peace now. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if they want to do that, and they say, give us the covenant of Allah and the covenant of His Prophet, he says, do not give them that, but rather give them your covenant. Okay? Because he said, if at that moment, if you make a mistake, it's better that you make a mistake and something that you give than you give them the covenant of Allah. Keep in mind now that the Prophet ﷺ has given this orders to the commander in chief, okay, and to the one who's in charge of the army. وَإِذَا طَلَبُوا مِنْهُمْ نُزُولَ عَلَى حُكْمِ اللَّهِ فَلَا يُجِيبُوهُمْ بَلْ يُنْزِلُونَهُمْ عَلَى حُكْمِهِمْ هُمْ وَاجْتِهَادِهِمْ خَشْيَةَ أَنْ لَا يُصِيبُوا حُكْمَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَيُنْسِبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا هُوَ خَطَأٌ. Likewise, he says, if they ask you to give them or to settle their case with the judgments of Allah, they're like, okay, we want to settle this. Alright, let's settle it. But with the judgments of Allah, he says, do not give them that. But rather you tell them, look, we're going to settle it. This is what we offer you. And this is from me, from us, not Allah's judgments. He says, why? Because out of fear that you might not give them the proper judgment of Allah. And therefore you will ascribe to Allah what is not befitting for you to ascribe to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a mistake. Allahu Akbar. مناسبة ذكر الحديث في الباب, the relevance of this hadith in this chapter, أن فيه النهي عن إعطاء ذمة الله وذمة رسوله للكفار خشية عدم الوفاء بذلك فتكون الجريمة عظيمة ويكون ذلك هضما لعهد الله ونقصا في التوحيد. سبحان الله. He says, this hadith, in it is a prohibition. It is prohibited to give the people the covenant of Allah, the kuffar, meaning, and the covenant of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of fear that a person may not be able to fulfill that. So the crime be greater, and therefore the people, they will not fulfill the covenant of Allah. And he said this impairs Tawheed. When a person says, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do it in the name of Allah, as pleased to Allah, but it turns out not to be the case. Aynam. ما يستفاد من الحديث أولا مشروعية بعث السرايا والجيوش للجهاد في سبيل الله. It is legislated to send expedition and troops for fighting for the sake of Allah. Number two, أنه يجب أن يكون القتال لإعلاء كلمة الله ومحو آثار الكفر من الأرض لا لنيل الملك وطلب الدنيا أو نيل الشهرة. It's very important as well that it is an obligation that fighting the kuffar is li'i'la'i kalimatillah, so that the tawheed prevail and to give and to wipe out the kuffar and disbelief from the earth. That's what the jihad is for, calling the people to tawheed and saving them from shirk, not to get mulk, kinship, like somebody wants to. Jihad is not to expand the kingdom and the like, or for dunya purposes, for worldly gain, or to be famous and the like. Like some rulers, they want to be famous. And he wants to rule everybody, you know? They did it like Hitler did it before, right? As an example. He was a guy who wants to be famous. He just wants to be the main man, that he has dominance over all Europe and the like. And many people tried before him. But that's not what jihad is done in Islam. It's not done to take people's property or to be famous and the like. ثالثا مشروعية تنصيب الأمراء على الجيوش والسرايا. It is now legislated for us to appoint. It is legislated that leaders of troops and expedition to be appointed. Now, it's not just like, okay, the army, go. Now they have to have a ruler that they listen to and the like. رابعا, number four, أنه يشرع لولي الأمر أن يوصي القواد ويوضح لهم الخطة التي يسيرون عليها في جهادهم. That is legislated for the wali al-amr, the ruler, the one in charge, to advise and give guidelines and advices and instructions to his commanders in chiefs, and make clear to them the plan that they should follow in the jihad. خامسا أن الجهاد يكون بإذن ولي الأمر وتنفيذه. The jihad is supposed to be by the idn and the permission of the ruler, and under his management. سادسا مشروعية الدعوة إلى الإسلام قبل القتال. That the kuffar, they should be called to Islam before fighting take place. سابعاً مشروعية أخذ الجزية من جميع الكفار. Likewise, it is legislated to take the jizya from all of the kuffar. ثامناً النهي عن قتل السبيان. It is strictly forbidden to kill children. تاسعاً النهي عن التمثيل بالقتلى. It is strictly forbidden to mutilate the dead. Somebody died, leave him alone. Aynan. It's forbidden. Now once again, you remember what these Khawarij are doing. Whether they are in ISIS and Nusra, or whatever they are, the Qaeda, or the Shabab in Somalia, whatever, Boko Haram, whatever they may be, and they do that in the name of Islam. But we need to tell the people that this is not from Islam. Islam prohibits such heinous crimes. 10. النهي عن الغرور والخيانة في العهود. Likewise, stealing from the spoils of war and not fulfilling the covenants is strictly forbidden. Number 11, احترام ذمة الله وذمة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم والفرق بينهما وبين ذمة المسلمين. Having respect for the covenant of Allah and the covenant of His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you should make a difference, know the difference between the covenant of Allah and the covenant of His Messenger, His Prophet, and the covenant of the Muslimin that's given by the Muslims. 12 طلب الاحتياط عن الوقوع في المحذور. نعم. It is recommended to be cautioned and to take caution and to be cautious so that you don't fall into that which is prohibited. 13 أن المجتهد يخطئ ويصيب والفرق بين حكم الله وحكم العلماء. That the mujtahid, a person who's in a position to give a verdict, نعم, is that subject to erring, like to make a mistake or to be right. When a person exerts their efforts, qualified person, this is not for anybody, ijtihad is not for anybody, those people, they have the conditions that are met, but then they still, they can be right or can be wrong. And also a person should know the big difference between the ruling of Allah and the verdicts of the scholars. Number 14, al-irshadu ila irtikabi aqalli al-amrayn khatara. Naam, this deen of Allah direct us to choose from two matters the one that is have less danger. Because now you remember this taken from there's the covenant of Allah and the rulings of and the verdict given by those leaders. Aynam. So if they make a mistake even in the what they give them, that's way better for them than making a mistake and telling this is what Allah says and it's not. And this is the covenant of Allah, and it turns out that it is not. Now, 15, مَشْرُوعِيَةُ الْإِجْتِهَادِ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ. Now, in our deen of Islam, it is legislated al-ijtihad, if there is a need for it. That's why you find the ulama, now, they have ijtihad. If there is a need for it, keep in mind, لَاجْتِهَادَ مَعَ النَّصِ. But if there is a text from the Quran, from the Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah, no one should leave the text and make ijtihad. No. But rather, we all commanded and ordered to adhere to the command of Allah and to comply with the Sunnah of the Prophet. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all beneficial knowledge that is coupled with righteous actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on our mashayikh and raise them levels for what they do for Islam, for the Muslims. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.